Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. Hi, so are you one of thousands of people who took on a lockdown puppy and then realised they were lacking some fundamental socialisation skills through absolutely no fault of your own? And on top of that, you now have a very energetic young dog with excess energy to burn off. And that wasn't even going to relent once they turned into a young adult. So I'm sure there's many of you out there that can relate to this. Well, fear not, help is on hand. Today, we are very, very pleased to welcome experienced dog fit instructor and dog trainer, Matt Blackburn, who's with us today to share his personal experiences and his advice for introducing Canicross to young dogs in a positive and effective way. So first of all, welcome, Matt. It's really lovely to see you today.
Hello, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, lots of information. I mean, we're being asked all the time with people now with young dogs that are starting to Canicross. So looking to obviously hear about all the hints and tips that you're going to share with us. So welcome onto this week's episode. So Matt, can you tell us a bit about your background? You know, let's start with the dog training side of your business.
Yeah, so I've been doing it for probably 10 years or so now. And it's gone from strength to strength, to be honest. Yeah, we sort of do a lot of different types of dog training. So obviously Canicrosses are one of our favourite things to teach, of course, but we also, you know, cover lots of different sort of areas, like gun dogs we work with, agility dogs, obedience dogs, scent work. We do lots of scent work. That seems to be really, really growing at the moment. And yeah, so there's lots of bases that we cover. Puppy training as well being a big part of our business.
I mean, how many dogs do you have yourself and which ones do you Canicross with?
So I've got four dogs. So we've got a little Cocker Spaniel, we've got a Springer Spaniel and two Border Collies. So I Canicross with my Border Collies. One's she's pretty good at it. So she's well trained at it, should we say. And then I've got a younger Border Collie, he's a boy and he's full of energy, but he's still learning the ropes. So yeah, he's a good strong puller, as I like to say. He's a bit of a tank.
Excellent.
Absolutely. We've actually just written a blog post about Canicrossing with collies. They do absolutely love it.
So you were saying about, you know, there's so much involved in dog training and it never stops, you know, from when they're a puppy right through to when they're older. Do you, in your line of work, sort of tend to treat the younger dogs, you know, the newbies, the pups, different to the older dogs that come to see you? You know, is there a different approach that you use?
Yeah, I think I do, actually. I think everybody seems to have this idea if they need to go to puppy classes and like tick the box. But we've kind of realised, actually, puppy classes are great, but there's a slightly better way now where we get better results. So we're kind of going for like a one-to-one like puppy class, or shall we say, or like puppy training, and we actually work on like building a really great relationship with the dog first off, so we can, you know, we're not putting them in a situation where there's like 6-7 of the really excitable puppies and they're struggling to like do all these things that the instructor's telling them to do. So actually, you know, taking them out of that difficult environment and just working on a one-to-one basis for a little while can really set them up for success when they come to go into classes. So that's kind of our approach at the minute. We're working more closely with owners and the puppies and just really building a really good relationship and first off. So I think that's key. Once you've got the relationship, it's really quite easy, you know, when you get into these difficult environments. And Canicross is another excitable you know, environment for a dog. So if you've got a great relationship, you've kind of got it sussed, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously during lockdown, everything's jumped online. So typically with people with these young dogs, are you sort of coaching them once a week with dog behaviour and different aspects? I guess it's very bespoke for each person.
Yeah, every dog's different. Even the same breeds are very different. So, yeah, we work very closely with the owners. And that's another good thing about doing it more on a one-to-one basis is you can tailor it to the dog and what they actually need instead of trying to cram it all into like a lesson and make it fit everybody. So, yeah, we really like to sort of, it is a little bit more work, I suppose, for me, but I enjoy it. So it's all good.
it sounds great. And so tell us about your discovery of Canicross. How did you first come across the sport and how did you get involved?
So I was kind of on a fitness thing, and I was, you know, I wasn't overweight, but I was looking to get a bit fitter, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I got a fitness plan off a friend, and it involved a lot of running. And I was very much like, I want to sort of kill two birds with one stone here. So I'm not going to walk my dog and then go for a run. So I was like, I'm just going to take my border collies out of me and we're just going to run. And at some point on the runs, I needed to put them on their harness and run with them, put them on leads. And I was like, so then it kind of, we started running together and I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And then I was like, I need to turn a corner. You know, how are we going to do this? So it kind of progressed from there. And I started to, yeah, really like look into it and find what was out there and what I needed. And yeah, I was like, wow, there's this thing called Canicross. And
it's a whole world.
Yeah, a different world. And yeah, so we that's really how the journey started for me. It was a fitness thing. And for the dogs as well, I wanted to keep them fit and healthy, and it fits with our sport agility as well. So it works really nicely for lots of stuff, to be honest.
I'm sure it must complement a lot of other things you do. Like you say, are you finding that a lot of your clients are getting a lot out of that if they're doing other elements of training with you alongside the Canicross?
Yeah, it really helps. Like I've got, you know, puppy, like I say, puppy owners, and right through to sports dog owners who do agility or lots of different sports, and it really does help with the fitness for the dogs for agility. It helps in obedience as well. You know, people want strong, fast positions, so you can use Canicross for lots of different training. It crosses over totally. You might have a Cocker Spaniel that needs to work for long periods of time in the woods. So it can build endurance into a dog as well. So it really does help lots of owners, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, and then with this big swathe of lockdown pups, you know, and it's all a bit being staggered, I suppose. There's some already reaching maturity, some probably still puppies that might be, you know, up for running later in the year. But yeah, in terms of your experiences of meeting a lot of these dogs, that are you finding that there's certain training needs that they have, and you know, anything different from normal? Because obviously you must have more puppies coming through your doors than normal. Has that changed your perspective on training or how you approach that?
Yeah, we are having a lot of lockdown puppies come through for sure. But I know we've got that thing in our head, you've got 16 weeks to socialize them, and there's that real sort of period that we need to do. And you get that big checklist and you need to go and see a vet and a man with a beard and find this certain looking dog and you've got to tick it off. And, you know, that's quite hard through lockdown, to be honest. It's quite difficult. And then obviously, you know, you need to go out and see all those other dogs as well. But, you know, you meet all those other dogs. But I really want to sort of dispel those myths, because I think... you know, there's all these people sat at home with these lockdown puppies kind of thinking, oh, I've missed that socialization period. But actually, it's a little bit more flexible and kind of organic, I suppose, than like sort of prescribed for people. So what I'm trying to say is really that we can actually help grow their confidence and optimism with other dogs through sort of 3-minute games. So if we set our dogs sort of up for success through these 3-minute games, like building confidence and getting them okay with novelty, actually when they go out into the real world, they deal with novelty a lot better. So that's kind of the approach that we like to sort of take with them.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And it's obviously with the, that's with the kind of younger puppies coming through. As we all know, obviously when dogs move on to Canicross, they need to be between 12 and 18 months old for their, obviously their growth plates and development. But you're obviously teaching Canicross as well, obviously to your clients. What benefits have you seen that that's brought to their dogs?
Well, first off, we're seeing like the building the relationship is huge, the dogs that are doing Canicross. You know, working as a team, there's nothing quite like it. So when you're running with your dog, it just, you're building that relationship. You know, like I was saying earlier about, you know, you want to build a relationship with your puppy through the one-to-ones and stuff. But, that you know, you go on to Canicross and you're still invested in that relationship. So it's really, really great for that. It builds a lot of focus and drive for your dogs as well. Obviously, you've got your sports dog owners out there who, you know, want to sort of build a really fit, fast dog. So Canicross helps with that as well. It's just a really great sport.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to argue about that. But, you know, time and time again, we've seen how Canicross has really helped as, you know, a training aid for dogs, not in, you know, the strictest sense, but just as a tool to help them gain confidence and bond, you know, with their owner. And, you know, as you know, we've got a lot of dog fit trainers who, you know, many are dog trainers or personal trainers, and they definitely back up your comments about that. But yeah, it's lovely. It's still always lovely to hear. So you talked earlier about how you use various training techniques as part of your job. And I know you said you've got some for the younger dogs. When it comes specifically to Canicross, are there any sort of specific training techniques you've been using to introduce them to them, to help them, you know, learn the ropes, so to speak? Are there any things that you do with the dogs there?
Yeah, definitely. I like to kind of think of that, not just the Canicross itself, but the whole day, shall we say. So when I'm sort of teaching new people to get ready for Canicross, or if they're, you know, thinking of, they've got a puppy like we say and they're thinking of getting into the sport, I like to sort of, I want to set the dogs up for success. So we'll think about it, you know, is a dog okay in the car for one? Can they travel okay? Can they rest in the car until it's their turn to come out and start working? Are they okay with other dogs and the sort of novel environment like we were speaking about earlier? And then obviously the Canicross part, that's kind of, that is the easier bit to teach sometimes. It's all the bits around it that are sometimes the difficult bits for owners, I find, where they need the most help, to be fair. So yeah, I sort of, I'll start with, you know, training them to be happy in the car and work okay in the car. And just wait their turn, and then I'll train them, like we were saying about the 3-minute games at home, learning to be okay with novelty, stuff like that. That sets them up for success for when they go into that environment, and it is, you know, really novel, and there's lots of weird and crazy things that life's throwing at them when they're in the sort of Canicross environment. And then obviously the Canicross training as well, we'll do things like harness shaping. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of harness shaping.
What's harness shaping?
So we teach the dogs to push their heads through the harness. So it's a really exciting game. So a lot of dogs don't like to put their head in things or like through a harness. And you can see a lot of dogs sort of find it uncomfortable, or even dogs will back away when they even see a harness. So first off, we've got all young dogs. I'll be working on games like that at home. So just shaping them for like put their head through, making it a really fun game. And eventually you get a dog that will drive, as soon as you get the harness out, they'll drive through and put their head in. They really love it. So little games like that can really help set up your dog for success, really. Other little games I like to play are sort of, it's called Race to Dead Toy. I don't know if you've heard that, or Race to Reward. So once they're in the harness, it's a bit like, it's setting up like a tiny little Canicross session. It might be just across the garden. They're in the harness and we'll place a toy or a food bowl at the end of the garden. We'll just race towards it. And we'll do that over and over until they start to drive towards it. It teaches them to be okay in the harness and actually, you know, pull on the lead, because that feeling of of pulling on a lead can be a bit funny for young dogs. So there's so many games.
That game you just mentioned, Matt, really interesting. So, well, then are they pulling naturally because there's a reward at the end of the garden, or do you need to? And then secondly, at the point they pull, are you introducing any of the commands, you know, the cues at that stage, or is that still too early?
It depends on the age of the dog. They're pulling because they want to get it. I mean, at first you've got to build the desire for the food, the desire for the toy. So if you're going back a bit further on training, like a bit earlier, like I've got a really young Cocker Spaniel that's come to stay that we're training up at the moment. One of the things we'll be doing with her is really building great drive for toys and food. So she'll be working for all of her food. And like we've just been feeding her, to be honest. And we had a bowl of food, we put it on the floor, and we recall her towards it, and she just runs across to get the food. So that's kind of like right from day one, we're building that building in this drive, that desire to want to work for you and, you know, drive to something. So, we'll put the toy out, and it could be their favourite toy or whatever, and then they drive towards it. And then, you know, once you sort of feel that they really understand the game, they're getting it right, and they really are sort of pulling all the way to the toy, you can start adding cues in for sure. There's no problem at all.
That's really interesting. And I think just going back to your point earlier about teaching good behavior even before you started canny crossing, the waiting, because some dogs do get quite anxious and excited, and then they get barky, and then you might get another dog that's beside it that actually then gets anxious because that dog's barking. So kind of working on that before you even start canny cross is a good steer. And also, as we've obviously just chatted about, some dogs don't naturally pull. So, you know, is a question that we do get asked is, you know, how can I encourage my dog to pull into the harness? And especially for people that have been running on their own. So it sounds like that starting in the garden. We do have a video where we've covered it, but that is one of the points that we do cover. But I think going back four steps is encouraging the dog to pull forward. That's really interesting. One thing I did want to ask is have you noticed then that dogs that are canny crossing are different or bringing some of those skills over when they're doing maybe the scent work or the agility or just being more in tune with their owners? Have you found that?
Yeah, definitely. I find that the dogs that run, 5K or whatever, they can definitely work for a longer period of time. So if they're searching for a scent, say, they're looking for an item and, you know, it's quite difficult to find. They can work for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, half an hour. It depends on the level of the dog. So it really does build endurance, determination. We like to use the word grit, to be honest. So we call them really gritty dogs. So they'll just, you know, they keep working for a long period of time and they're not getting rewarded, you know, until they find the object. So it does really help. I use canny cross in a slightly different way for my agility dogs. I've kind of used interval training. So I'll do interval training because my agility dogs only need to run for like 30, 40 seconds and it's accelerate, decelerate, turn tight, you know, jump long on an agility course. So if you think about it, you want to train specific for your sport. So I do a lot of interval training. So it's 30 second run in and then we walk for 30 seconds, 30 second run in, we walk, you know, for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I've seen a massive difference in the speed of my dogs at agility. It's huge, like the gap from before they did it to now. So I really think it has huge benefits for lots of different sports.
That's really interesting. And also I just canny cross in itself, you can easily introduce interval training and mix up the training because people assume it's just meet up and group people and just do a run, but you can, just like dog was running, really mix it up and work on areas that you want to improve on. Like you said, for people who do agility with their dogs, they can do a bit of interval training and speed work and, you know, getting the dog, it helps, must help the dog's focus as well, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely focus. If you think about agility, you need them to focus not only on the handler, but on the objects out in front or the obstacles. So Canicross is saying that the dog's not really, they're listening to you, but they're forward focused. They're not looking back at you generally, depending on the dog, obviously. But so yeah, it can definitely help with focus, forward focus for sure. It's got so many like different ways you could go with it. Canicross is great.
Yeah, I would love to hear. I mean, do you have any stories that you could share with us about customers that have discovered Canicross and how it's really helped them?
Yeah, definitely. I've had quite a few that, you know, they've wanted to sort of get into Canicross, and we've had to work on quite a few different things first before we can get there. And they say to me, "Oh, you know, you've really, really helped me." And I'm actually like, "It's not me. It's you guys. You've done the hard work. You know, you've worked towards your goals." And it was just a matter of, I think it's all down to knowledge. Knowledge is sort of, it is key to everything. And if you don't know, you can't really get there. So they sort of, yeah, I get lots of messages saying thanks for the help, but I really think it's the owners. They did the hard work. So yeah, we've had lots of positive reinforcement from owners, to be fair, but I definitely say it's them.
Have you got a specific example of maybe a dog that you've seen really improve as a result of introducing the Canicross?
Yeah, definitely. So we've been training a border collie recently, and yeah, he was quite a nervous type of border collie, very sensitive, typical border collie, to be fair. Since we've been, I mean, doing Canicross, he's totally changed, to be honest. Like, I remember we've only done a few sessions, and I'm just thinking back now to our last one, and I got there, and because we were doing some one-to-ones, and the daughter was like, he really likes me now. I just felt like he hated me at first, and now he just can't wait for me to get home. And like, we're sort of working as like, when we train together, he really listens to me, and he is really focused on it, to be honest. And I was like, you've built that relationship together through the Canicross. Like, it's that relationship building again. You've actually got a relationship with him now, and it's really nice to see them, you know, work as a team.
We've mentioned the bond before, and it's so important. It's not just about getting fit with your dog, but it's actually building that bond. And then on the back of that, you build that trust, don't you? So when you are incorporating training and the exercise, then it can only be a mutually beneficial thing for the dog and the owner, because they're just doing something together. And you mentioning that you're seeing that bond growing, you're obviously seeing some great results from the training side as well, I presume, as a result of doing the Canicross, and vice versa.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely it works so well together. So the fitness, you know, we offer fitness training for people as well. And I kind of try to explain how that will improve your relationship, just working together as a team. But it really does, you know, just a 10-minute fitness session and some Canicross, it can really change a dog that we kind of call naughty but nice. So you've got a dog that, you know, is a little bit naughty but also a little bit nice. We've got a couple of those too. So it can definitely be transformational in lots of dogs. The Canicross can certainly transform them from a naughty but nice dog into like an angel, shall we say.
a super dog. But it's lovely to hear as well that you really credit the owners as well. As you're saying, that they're the ones doing the work. Obviously you're teaching them how to work with their dog, but that's really lovely. It's been really great speaking with you today. And but we've got one last point in here, is your capacity as a dog fit trainer. What would be your advice to anyone listening now to this podcast that's considering taking up Canicross? What would you say to them?
I'd say get out there and get started. I think we're all very, as humans, we kind of put things off and we wait and we procrastinate. And I don't think there's any right time to get started other than today. So definitely give it a go. And if it just means grab your dog, grab a lead, and you know, just go for a free run in the fields, and just get that feeling of running with your dog. There's nothing quite like it. So definitely get started and try some of the little games that we've we've talked about today, and build that relationship and have some fun, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, it'd be lovely to hear. Those games are really interesting. And I think we normally produce a blog off the back of this podcast. So we'll try and share some of your games with everybody, because I think it's really interesting addition to all the work we do with the dogs, and gives them something to focus on. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing all of those stories with us today and your experiences with Canicross. And it's been really fascinating to talk with you today, Matt. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been really great fun. I hope I can come back and talk about some more games you can do with your dogs, and yeah, how we can help build that awesome Canicross dog. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh. Sounds like another podcast, but thanks again, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy Canicrossing.